This is Brenda Daly, and this is Real Women Celebrating Women in Independent Film. And I am here with Darlene Dalmasita. So we're here talking about her and what she's doing because she's an independent filmmaker. You're also an actress, is that correct?
Yes.
And what's your specialty as far as being a filmmaker? Are you writer, director, producer?
I'm a writer, director, and an actress. And I also do a little bit of editing. I have a little bit of experience running camera, and I have produced my own projects either through self-funding or crowdfunding.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And I'd love to talk to you about crowdfunding. Well, we want to talk about your projects. And so I wanted you to tell us, what was the first project you ever did?
The first project I ever did was almost 11 years ago, right after I got out of film school, called Come Together. It's a short film about how social media and technology can take over our lives, and how, you know, out of that, you know, sometimes you have to step away from it and just like enjoy life and just get off your phone and your computer to just, I guess, come together with someone in real life, which is ironic now considering like how our world has changed. Now we're all with going through COVID and everything. It's kind of like,
We
can't go out now. We have to depend upon technology. So that film is kind of like not relevant right now.
Actually, I think it is kind of relevant still because I'm constantly on the phone or the computer because I'm either editing or I'm doing, I'm getting a hold of people. And so it's like my husband's like, are we ever going to have a conversation?
Right.
We're just so busy. I mean, I don't know about you. I was bartending before COVID ended. I lost my job due to COVID. But I've been so much more busy doing the production work because of it. So how has COVID been for you?
Well, in some strange way, it's been a blessing in disguise because before the pandemic, I was working at a job that I wasn't happy at all. And because we were laid off eventually, because I used to work for one of the strip hotels, we were all laid off. Well, I don't know about all of us, but I'm pretty sure a good majority of us were laid off, and it allowed me to find a better job working from home. And I decided to do this other project called Piece of Me, which is a horror, romantic comedy and murder mystery using a smaller cast and crew while I'm also putting Stripped in the auction on the back burner until I can figure out the funding situation for that. So I'm currently in production doing that project at the moment.
Right. No, I totally understand. So anybody who's out there who is an independent filmmaker understands that when you are doing things completely, pretty much by yourself, and you might have a few crew to help you out, that it takes a long time just to get things done. Even if you work with Zoom or, you know, Facebook Messenger or whatever you're working with, it just seems like just getting from point A to point B.
Well, I'm fortunate that I've been working with really good people who do want to participate in a smaller project despite COVID. I have had a few people who aren't familiar with auditioning virtually because, you know, if there wasn't COVID right now, I would just find a room at the library somewhere to audition people. But because of what's going on, I've had to do it all through Google Meet. So there's been like a handful of people that didn't respond to my email. And I just wondered if they thought that was weird. You know, why do I have to do it virtually? You know, like, but I mean, the majority of people have been okay with doing it virtually. And it's easy for me because even though I could like get a room at the library or whatever, it's not that easy for me to be, I'm not mobile. I have to take public transportation or Lyft or Uber or whatever to get to places. So I can just do it.
I think though most actors now though, they're just so used to just auditioning and doing self-tape. So I don't think that's a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny because when my daughter was really young, 10, I was actually making tapes of her on a little Sony Handycam, and I was sending them to her agent. Why can't you just submit this? And he's like, oh, they don't do it this way. Mm-hmm. And now that's all they do. And I think the internet opens up a lot more actors and a lot more possibilities for everybody who are in the industry.
Yeah, I have a couple of people I know that worked on my projects moved out to Atlanta.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a big deal. So tell me about Pieces of Me.
Yeah. So as I mentioned before, Piece of Me is a romantic comedy, horror, and a murder mystery about this paranoid young lady. Her name's Lisa. She's overly concerned with the pandemic. She's a neat freak. She's got OCD tendencies. She's a control freak. She wears her mask 24/7, even to the point where she showers with it. She goes to bed with it. And she's got her own little bubble.
That's actually
funny. Yeah, she's got this own little bubble that is disrupted by two pizza guys that are both named James, although one is called Jimmy because we want to separate both Jameses. The first James is a nerd. He's socially awkward. He doesn't know how to talk to women. He's met his dream girl in Lisa, but he just completely screws everything up. And the other one is the complete opposite. He's a ladies' man, a player, handsome guy, overly confident, arrogant, narcissistic. And they're both equally obsessed with her for different reasons. Like the pizza guy that's a nerd, he's obsessed because he really feels bad and he wants to make it up to her and he's trying to impress her and he doesn't know how to go about it. The other guy is butthurt because she rejects him and he's like, what? She doesn't want this? Like, what's wrong with her? You know, his ego's hurt. So both of them go to these great lengths to be with this woman that's rejected them. So they both want what they can't have. And then along the way, people die, you know, because it's horror. It's a murder mystery. People have to die. And the audience has to figure out who the killer is.
Okay. So who are the actors that are in your piece?
They're completely new people, actually. I've never worked with them, but I have a great cast. The two lead actors, the guy who plays the nerd, his name is Ben Rodriguez. He's originally from Miami. And the second guy is Mikey D'Orsi. He goes to UNLV and he plays the handsome guy. I'm Lisa.
Oh, okay. That's fun. Hey, I'm all for that. I'm literally the lead in my own thing. So I get it. Tell me, you said something about going to film school. What film school did you go to?
I went to the Art Institute.
And did you just learn everything about filmmaking there? Or
I did. Yeah, I learned everything about filmmaking there. I started out as a web design major and then I changed my major in the middle of it because I took an editing course and I found like I really liked the filmmaking process. And I was a writer anyway, because I'd been writing short stories since I was in elementary school. So I already had this knack for writing already. Then I took a screenwriting course and I thought, well, you know, maybe coding is not going to be my thing. Now it's going to be filmmaking.
Right now, because of COVID, things have kind of opened up for the independent filmmaker because, you know, everything had stopped for California and New York.
Yeah.
You know, I think they just recently opened up in California, but we don't know how long that's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix has only been doing things out of country. Filmmaking interested you. And so you decided to go for that. Then you made your first movie and it was called Come Together.
Yes.
Did you ever get distribution or did you enter it in any film festivals or what did you do with your first?
I did. Actually, the Review Journal in 2010, they had an online film festival and I entered it and we did get honorable mention.
That's nice.
Yeah. So it was technically the first film festival I ever entered my work in.
And so what did you do? Or I know you've got the auction on the back burner and you've got Stripped a little bit on the back burner.
Right.
So what do you plan on doing with Piece of Me?
I plan to put it out on YouTube. The pilot will come out on Valentine's Day. And there's going to be a crowdfunding campaign associated with it on buymeacoffee.com. But it's changed so that we can make it buy me a pizza. So for a minimum of $5 a slice, people can donate toward our project. Like I'm setting the minimum goal is $100. So in order for the second episode to come out, we have to reach our goal of $100 or more. And we also have different rewards. So yeah, so if we don't reach our goal, we can't release the next episode. That's the way that's a clever way that we can get funding. It's like, well, you know, so that also gives our cast and crew an incentive to get their people involved and donate so that we can release subsequent episodes. It's going to be $100 minimum goal every time. And there's 6 episodes in all.
That's very, so what other crowdfunding sites have you used in the past?
Yes, I've used Indiegogo and I've used GoFundMe. I tried Patreon, but I didn't really figure out how it worked. Like it didn't really, like I wasn't jiving with Patreon, so I didn't continue using it.
And what about Indiegogo? Was it a successful campaign?
Unfortunately, no. I tried to get into the Riviera to at least for like a couple of days of shooting, because I think they wanted like 5,000 per day or something. It was something astronomical. And I tried to, you know, raise $10,000, but I only raised $1,100, and $100 of that went to Indiegogo for fees. So I only raised $1,000, right. You know, like I wasn't able to get into the Riviera, at least not legitimately. You know, I had a round way that I got in there through my friend Austin. So,
right. Yeah. Well, that happens a lot with the independent. Sometimes I think too, when you don't have a lot of funds, you really have to get crafty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you that's know? What we did with the auction and Stripped. We had to shoot at alternate places to recreate the Riviera. Shot at the Royal Resort. We shot at the Westgate. Mm-hmm. I'm planning to shoot at the Ahern, which used to be the Lucky Dragon. Like I've been in contact with their people as far as using certain parts of the hotel before they open to the public. But we need funding.
And so what was their response to that? Have they been positive in that response, or
the Ahern Hotel?
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, they've been really positive about it. Like I got a great response from them. Like they took me on a tour and everything to just tour the property, and it's just a matter of getting the funding to shoot in there. I mean, I'm not sure how much they would charge, but when we were ready to actually go in there, then that's when I would get the price for how much it would be.
Oh,
you know, depending on what sections of the hotel we'd be using and how many days of shooting we would be there and all that. So, yeah, I've already discussed it with them. It's just a matter of reaching out to the sales manager. He's the one that's in charge of shooting, you know, any kind of shoots that go on in the Ahern.
I was wondering how that all works because, you know, everybody wants to film in like a casino or a hotel situation. But it's like they're usually just renting out a hotel room, and sometimes that can be problematic.
Yeah, I know. I had that. Speaking of, I had an issue when it was Lucky Dragon. I had a problem there, so it's kind of ironic that the old management didn't want us there, but the new one does.
Right, but I wonder if you could even I barter a little bit, like you know, say, hey, you know, I do have a film crew. Maybe we could make a little YouTube, I don't know, advertisement for them in exchange for them letting you use it for your
project. I was thinking about that. I actually know Ryan Ahern and his wife. He's a concert pianist and he's part of that family. And years ago, I screened my short film V-Day at their private theater, the Cube Theater, which is right behind the Palms. The Cube Theater, it's a private theater that Ryan and his wife, Lolly, they own it. It's not open to the public, but it's so cool. You would never know that there's a theater there because there's all this construction equipment because the Ahern family owns Ahern Rentals. So it's like literally inside a cube. And when you go in there, there's this like beautiful little theater with a snack bar and a stage. And, you know, like Ryan's hosted like private concerts there and everything. Like they've hosted private events. It's pretty nice. I think
out?
He does. It's been years since I talked to him, but he still remembered me, and that's why I was able to go into the Ahern and get a tour with the staff there.
It would become problematic to go out and shoot in places that are actually pretty much closed down.
Yeah,
I know. I've had issues with that. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the auction and when you started that and how far along you are in that.
The auction I started in January 2016. Like Austin and I were sitting in the Coffee Bean that used to be across the street from UNLV, and it was after an audition or a meeting or something, and we were just kind of fooling around with the idea, oh, what if we wrote a movie about the liquidation sale and all the people that we saw there, and it actually became a serious thing, like, wait a minute, we could actually do this project too in tandem with Stripped and get you know, get Jan Ruven to be in it and he could promote it. And maybe we could like actually still get into the Riviera because he used to be the headliner there years ago. But unfortunately, Jan got into trouble. And yeah, and we couldn't shoot it with him, but I didn't want to abandon the idea. So I was like, well, I already cast all these people because it was like February or late February, early March when his problems went down. And I was like, well, I still want to do the movie. So I did it. So we shot out a scene outside the Riviera where everybody's in line to get into the liquidation sale. The agency that they were using, R&R Partners, they didn't let us in. And plus, we didn't raise enough funds to get in there. But my friend Austin Abel was able to get into the hotel. He snuck in there with the help of a security guard. He befriended this guy. And he went in there. He shot a bunch of B-roll of the real hotel. He let me have some footage. And some of the footage is in his documentary about the implosion called Cashed Out Casino. So we actually did complete the film. It just needs sound work on it and color correction. That's all it really needs. And then I want to be able to raise funds to complete that and then move on to the graphic novel, which is going to be based on the auction, but it's going to be closer to what the original script was because we had to delete some scenes out of it because we got Murray Sawchuk to replace Jan. And he was supposed to be in the entire movie, but he had to drop out. So I thought we could always bring back a magician character in the graphic novel, kind of put some more horror elements into the graphic novel that we weren't able to put into the auction because it's more of like a, it's more like a comedy. It's more like suspense, like the film. It's not really horror, like true horror per se, but we could probably go more graphic in the book as far as the horror elements of the story. Plus we didn't have like money for like really special effects. So that could also go into the book as well.
I feel like as a filmmaker too, that's the big issue is getting that crossover into making money. I mean, you know, we learn the editing and we learn, you know, we even do the acting or and producing, but the big thing is the money because until you find somebody who actually is willing to write a check, it becomes so problematic. Like we just need to find that magic wand and figuring out how to raise money for all of our projects. Crowdfunded with Indiegogo before, we only raised like a couple $100s, but in actuality we raised $3,000. We were trying to raise 10 for Unintended, but we ended up raising $3,000, but most of it did not go on that site. You know what I mean?
That's how my most recent crowdfunding campaign with GoFundMe was like that, because which brings me to Stripped, because our pilot episode is on sideshow.com, which is an independent filmmaking streaming service started by Chris. This guy Chris, he lives up in San Francisco. It's a subscription-based service, but their system is kind of like it's not the easiest to navigate. So I had to create a GoFundMe for my people to donate to. And some of it was offline donations because they didn't want to pay Indiegogo's or GoFundMe's fees. Some of them say offline donations, like they would send it to me through Zelle or Cash App or Venmo, whatever. So, and then I would take that money and transfer it to my account on Sideshow, fill up the tickets or whatever to make up $3,000, which is the total budget that we need for the second episode.
I'm actually using Seeds and Sparks. I do like the fact that they're a women-run company. And it seems like, you know, I've submitted my project a couple of times and then they give you critique. You know, like they literally like help you along the way. Like they were, I think they had a problem with sound on one of my clips in my Fizzle. So they said, oh, you should probably fix that. And so, and then of course, when I put up the, you know, what it was about, then they kind of helped me, you know, navigate what it is that I need to fix because they're at an 80% success rate because of the way they do it. I'm hoping I'm in that 80%. They definitely have a certain way of doing things, and 80% is pretty high because they were telling me that I think Indiegogo was like in the 20% and Kickstarter's in like the 30% because people like worked really hard because of the fact that you had to get all the money. what they do is a little different than like what you're saying, like Sideshow and everything. Was one thing that they do is they actually have, like, you write a list of what you want. Like, say you wanted a location. Let's say at the time you wanted the Riviera Hotel. So you basically send an email to somebody who's in the Riviera Hotel, and then you kind of send it to their philanthropy department. And then in hopes that even if they don't give you the money, that you would say it was $5,000 a day, then you would put that on your wish list, and then somebody may grant that to you, and then they consider that part of what you got.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I thought it was very interesting. So you said the coffee and the pizza. I was like, that is great.
Oh, yeah. They also have beer, too.
But it's kind of in that kind of vein, like, you can't donate, you know, if you could share the page. And then if they share the page or whatever, or if they want to just come by set and buy lunch for everybody, because that does save you a lot of
money. Yeah, it does. Definitely.
You know, so it's kind of in that same vein. But I do like the way these ladies are handling it. I'll let you know how it goes, because we're getting ready to launch probably the first 5 days of February. I've put it off so many times because the inauguration and... And, you know, there was always something coming up, and my producer's like, yeah, we can't launch right now. I'm like, well, when?
Right. Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned Seed and Spark, because I'm probably going to launch another crowdfunding campaign with them, because I had a meeting through Zoom with Bree, who's one of the, if you know who she is. Yeah. She's one of the...
I do. She's actually the one on my, she's on my
project. Oh, okay. Yeah. I had a meeting with her.
Like, she's not a producer, but she's the one that's giving me all the pointers.
Yeah, exactly. She gave me some pointers too. So, but she has like a similar, like a web series that's similar in tone to Stripped, an LGBTQ project she had about a gay guy and a straight guy that are living together. I haven't seen it yet. Uh-huh. I forget what the name of it is, but I thought, oh, that's like Stripped, you know, like, because Milo and Lainey are, you know, he's gay and she's straight. So, like, I was like, just like with two guys, instead of a man and a woman. So,
right. Yeah. No, I really think they're really smart women. And I think that, you know, they're definitely people to follow. And a lot of times, even if you sign up with their, because I've literally been on their site for probably a year now, just following them and finding out what they're doing. And they usually give like free for the filmmaker. They give a lot of free advice online. If you want to, you know, if you're sitting around not doing a whole lot, they literally will tell you what's trending and what's going on in LA. And so, and they're very cool people online, and they do their own review of what's going on with Seeds and Spark. So I would recommend that to any filmmaker, because they are a lot more hands-on, which helps people like me who I'm still stumbling through the, okay, how do I do this? You know what I mean? And then you want to know what's appropriate and what's not appropriate, because is there anything about your projects that you want everybody to know about that you're super excited about, besides making them?
Well, I'm excited about this new project because it's been quite a while since I made. I'm going to talk to some local pizza places. Like, actually, I have to get in contact with someone who works at Carmine's to see if they could be a possible, excited about working with new people. You know, a couple of people I worked with on past projects, like Randall Potts. He helped me write half of the episodes of the series. And he also directed, he moved to New Mexico recently, but he did a great job on the horror makeup for himself and one of the other actors in the series this past weekend. So I got to learn a little bit horror makeup and applied and everything. I made like a little video. So I'm going to post it on TikTok after those episodes come out, because I don't want to spoil the audience. You know, I don't want to give away too much too soon, but I already have those in my drafts on TikTok and a new Instagram account and a new TikTok account, which is also something I'm excited about, is that I've been making TikToks at home, which also are posted on Instagram. But ironically, like, even though like my videos are originally made for TikTok, they actually do better on Instagram for some reason. So
I know the kids are on TikTok a lot, like the kids, like I want to say 15 to 25, I call them kids.
Right.
But I think I think everybody else is pretty much on Instagram is like as the industry professionals. Ooh. and then Facebook. I'm a Facebook girl 90% of the time. Like I have an Instagram and I have a TikTok account. I haven't done anything on TikTok. I probably should start posting more on those things just because, you know, you want to make sure you're a little more universal, and it also is great advertisement for you and your project. Yeah. So I find it very interesting. I don't know if you find it interesting, but the fact that you can't just be a filmmaker anymore. You have to be a social media guru in order to even be an actor or be a filmmaker.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to have an IMDb page, because if you don't have an IMDb page and you say, hey, I'm a writer, actress, producer, I'm doing this blah, 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 blah. The first thing they do is if you're not on IMDb, they don't even look at you twice.
Right.
That definitely corners the market. And then of course what your IMDb rating is, and it's like, wow, I just want to make films and act.
Right. Well, I mean, luckily I have an IMDb page though. I do have one.
I'm just saying it's just how the industry works. Just everything's online. Mm-hmm. You know, and it can be so costly to even be an actor, because you got to pay for your IMDb and you got to get your headshots and you got to do all this stuff.
Right.
And it just seems like I know the online auditions have made it less complicated, but yet it's more complicated because then there's just so many more people.
That's true.
Their hurdles were just all overcoming. So I guess my biggest question for you now is, what woman filmmaker or actor do you admire when you were younger and made you feel like, I want to be a filmmaker or I want to be an actress?
That's a really tough question, because I mean, there's so many great actresses out there that, I mean, both past and present, that I admire or have admired.
What's your favorite movie?
It changes all the time for like every few years. Mm-hmm. But I guess the last movie I could say that was my Boston Translation, uh-huh. Sofia Coppola.
And who? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sofia Coppola. Yeah. She's a big favorite mm-hmm. of mine. That's a really good one. And the thing is that she really does come from that filmmaking family. Yeah. So she probably just grew up around it and did so much on set as a kid that I think that's what makes her a great filmmaker. Plus, she has a female voice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like her work.
You know, and that's a really good one. Yeah, I really do love her. I think it's funny because a lot of times when I first got into making films, people were like, oh, you want to be the next Sofia Coppola? I said, I wish. Well, this has been super fun. I'm so glad you got to do this. I was kind of a computer thing because I'd never done it with some person on the computer. It's always been phone to phone.
Yeah.
Or I've gone to their house. But I think with COVID, this is probably the safest way. I wanted to ask you, because your listeners out there, they probably want to know how to get a hold of you.
Yeah. So I'm on social media. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I have a YouTube channel. It's Ace Vegas Studios. And they can add me on any one of those. I'm also on LinkedIn too, under my name, Darlene Dalmasita.
All right. And what do you think of your future besides finishing Piece of Me? What is it that you want to do in the long haul of all this?
Well, I would like to have my established career as a filmmaker, as a writer, director, and actress, and also in tandem with my retail business, which is Vegas Fine Pens and Gifts. So that would be like my side business.
So I'm here celebrating an independent filmmaker, Darlene Dalmasita. I'm super excited that you live locally, and I can't wait to see what you're going to do. And
thanks for having me on, Brenda. It was a lot of fun for me too.
Glad we got to do this, and I will talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks so much for having me.
No problem.